Once more, when it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
That
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And that old wheel has rolled around again. It's actually a snowy morning here at the Radio Ranch this February 3rd, 2018. And might turn to rain a little bit if it warms up some, but we'll see about that. And well, let's bring the men on. Good morning. We'll call him Uncle Paul. Good morning, Uncle Paul.
Good morning.
And good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
And we call him Uncle Paul because he's Zach's Uncle Paul. So, we welcome you men for joining us. And folks, we'd ask you to keep John and Jason and their families in your prayer. That old flu bug and crud has come around here as well, and they're both on the mend, but wanting to get rested up and hopefully be well for church tomorrow. And seems like we'll probably talk about it this morning, but that flu seems to be all over and just raging. So, well, let's open up in prayer and we'll kind of go from there then. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together, Lord, to fellowship, to read from your word, Lord, to have iron sharpen iron, Lord, not only with us and the men here, but Lord, as this broadcast goes out, that Father, we know that there are men and families gathering all over the country that tune in, Lord, to do that very thing, to sharpen up, as we might say. And so we thank you for that, Lord. Father, we ask for your health and your healing to be upon our brethren, Lord. We lift Brother John and his family and Brother Jason and his family up to you, Father, for health and healing. Lord, we pray believing. Lord, we come against this flu and this crud. In Jesus' name, we just tell you to leave. And Lord, we certainly don't limit those prayers to just John and Jason. But Lord, we pray for all of the remnant that are ailing, that are sick, Father, that are fighting colds and this flu and influenza, whatever it may be, Lord. Father, we remember when you brought the children out, Lord. When you brought them out of Egypt, there were none feeble. There were none, Lord, that were sick. And so, Lord, we pray that for this day. We pray that your remnant would be well and healthy. And that, Lord, that we know that when there is repentance and returning to you, that your blessings flow. And so we pray that for your people, Lord. Father, we do pray for our leaders. Father, we see things. We may not understand them all, but we see things as better. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to guide and direct our leaders. For, Lord, for them to look to your word and to godly Christian counsel when they have the decisions to make that they are charged with. Father, we pray for your blessings on this broadcast this morning, that, Lord, it would grow out true and strong. We pray all this, Lord, to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Well, tons going on in the news world. It seems like that the pistol prayer that Pastor put out years ago that includes the words DC sorcery cease and satanic strongholds release and idols be cast down, that is happening at least to a degree. DC seems, just when we think that it's in an uproar and they're at each other's throats, it seems like something new comes out, something new is exposed. And I hope that that's as much an encouragement to everybody else as it is to me to see that our prayers are answered. They really are. Brother Paul, I know you had mentioned a little something before about watching the president's recent speech and what are your thoughts on that? You want to share a few things?
Well, I don't know. I'm a little mixed about it. I think it was good, and I think he was trying to show people that things are happening, and he did. You know, there was a lot of applause and the thing that I don't know. I don't really care for all the applause. I mean, a little bit's fine, but there was a lot of that. So, and out of that, looking at the crowd, there were certain people that were very put out about it, but the vast majority were excited about it. So, and I heard that Paul Ryan said he's never seen his party more unified in all of his life. You know, I hate to use the Republican Democrat because in the past I thought there's no difference, but maybe there is now. So who knows? I hope.
Yeah, what little bit I saw the that there were several pictures that went around of Republicans playing video games on their phone, or Democrats doing that during the speech. Just showing utter disrespect there. And I know there was more than one that got up and just walked out of the speech. I don't recall, and if I'm wrong, correct me, but I don't recall Republicans doing that, getting up and walking out of speeches that the president is giving. Doesn't seem like it lends anything towards maybe working together for a common goal.
Well, they're losing their grip. They want control of, you know, to run this thing for their honor, and I think he's just tearing that right down, you know. I'm not real sure. I always said, curse the man that trusts in man, and I haven't changed my mind on that too much, but I do believe he's the man for what's going on. We just have to make sure that we don't lose our sight of God, because you know his hand is in there, and the ultimate deception could be here too. And I don't really know. All things work together for those believing. That's one thing I do, is I believe. So let's let it happen.
Yeah, amen to that. You know, it sure seems, in seeing news reports, in just seeing things here locally. Things down in Fort Collins when we travel down to Colorado, and here and talking to people locally, that it does seem that the economy is on an upturn, that there are more jobs available, that people that want to work are working, and that certainly seems better than a year, 2 years ago, three, four, five, six, 7 years ago. It seems that way here. Just that things are different.
Yeah, I think there always was jobs. You know, that kind of irritates me because, you know, everywhere I go, there's help wanted, and that's been the way for a long time. But what the difference is, there's heart in the people. They see hope that there's maybe going to be something different for a change.
Well, maybe that's what it is, but it sure seems, and it is different. You know, it's looking around here, it's almost, you go to town in the morning, and it's almost like back when the last little oil boom was rolling through. You know, there's more work trucks around, and it definitely is a difference. And the construction that's going on down in Colorado is just unbelievable. It's everywhere you look. They are putting up either houses or office space or the university's expanding quite a bit. I've got a friend here in town that is a contractor, and he said he has more work that he could get done this year. And if he could find the people that would work, he's got two full carpenter crews, two four-man crews that he could work all year long and pay good wages. And I think that ties into what you said, Paul, that there is jobs, but it's getting the people that will work.
Well, look at the Israelites of old. When they had heart, they could they were invincible. I mean, at really peculiar odds, and I think that our people are that way. If you give them a little hope at the end of the tunnel, they can do it. And that's what we need is, you know, when you watch the previous administration just sucking the life out of us and not giving anything back and just looking at us, you know, like old Rehoboam did, and just another cash cow. I don't know, something definitely different. I believe it's hard because I believe the work was always there. That's my opinion.
I think God's opening a door for the church. I think he's opening a door for the remnant. And my opinion is, with all these things happening that's going on with Trump, we as the remnant need to recognize the opportunity that we have placed right before us. And now's the time, I believe, to strike for the remnant to get out there and start pounding the ground. I got a scripture I'd like to read. It's found in First Ephesians. I'm going to start with verse 18. And I'm going to read through to the end of the first chapter. And it starts out in verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, in which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, and put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, by which his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Well, if we're his physical body on this earth, then that means, and he's the head, and he has the authority, then that means we have the authority. And we know Public Law 97-280 is federal law that says the Bible is the rock upon which this country was built. And according to this, we need to take dominion. We need to go out and pound the ground and preach the gospel like we've never preached before, because the fields are ripe. We need to start harvesting, and we need to have that mentality to get this country back under godly rule, under godly laws. And so Trump may be opening the door for us to do that. And I don't really think it's right to let him do all the work in the political party when it should be Jesus' body doing it.
Amen. Amen. You know, when, where is it at? Back here in 1 John, talked about it a little bit Thursday night, just talking about how that we, well, 1 John 3:18 says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And that we have to be, verse 24 says, the one who keeps his commandments abides in him. We are to be, you're absolutely right, doing the works. Not for salvation, but because of. And there's plenty of works to do in sharing the gospel, in taking opportunities to explain the word better when you get that opportunity. And Zach, I know that you take that opportunity every chance you get there with the your local church and the people that are you know, that are there in your community. And I hope that is an encouragement to all to do that, to be doing the works, to be sharing the true gospel. And I think that this current the current president, having a vice president that openly praises and claims Jesus Christ, that is a good it's a good lead-in. It's a good opener. It's a good way to you know, if you don't have any other way, it's a good way to start bringing up the gospel with politics.
You know, I was really encouraged last Saturday. I had a guy, he's a member of a Church of Christ up north of me quite a ways, and I was telling him some of the lessons I was doing here locally, and I don't know, I probably sent him four or five of them total, and I thought the last time that we had communicated personally, I thought he was a little bit offended. I sent him a lesson that I did on those that call themselves Jews, but they are actually the synagogues of Satan, and I thought he was offended by it, and I hadn't talked to him in pretty near a year, and I was pretty bummed out last Saturday, and lo and behold, he sends me a text message, and he's like, well, where you been? I ain't heard from you in a while. And, you know, I said, well, I thought you didn't want to hear anything I had to say. And he's like, no, you know. So there is a demand, and there is a thirst for proper teaching.
Yes.
And I found that very encouraging. And, you know, I just think we need to have a little more of an offensive mentality than a defensive mentality. And because if we don't, then I don't think God would be too happy with us.
No ball game of any kind is won defensively.
That's right. And no war is won by remaining just on the defense. You know, we're told that even in our captivity, the children of Israel were told to go, to take dominion, to build houses, to have gardens, to live their lives. And we are to do that here. It's not to hide up on the mountain. And I like how you put it, that with this new administration, something's different. Maybe it is that heart, a little bit of heart has been given back to the people. But we certainly can't sit back and, as was mentioned earlier, just let the hope that the administration that's in there continues. I like how you put it, Paul, I think you said it, that maybe they've opened the door. Maybe they've opened the door. Well, now it's time to go to walk through that door boldly, proclaiming Christ Jesus, and doing. We have to remember to be doing that. And you may get to have a church you get to teach to on Sunday, and it may be at the coffee shop, it may be just at with your friends that you see here and there, but the influence that we have, there it's the right time. I sincerely think it is. I think it's the right time to be talking about Christ and His kingdom and His word and His law and His instructions.
Well, you know, we the three of us here still suffer from the religion in this country. God is love, God is love. We don't really want to offend nobody. Anybody that made a difference in my life offended me, let me tell you. He offended me, and it was with the truth. And to this day, I respect those people, but I didn't particularly like it at the moment. And the truth is offensive. I would say to 99% of the people on the street, it's very offensive to them because of that love. You can't say that to a person. Well, yes, you can. You have to. God, right. You know, Jesus was very tender to the women and the children and stuff like that, but he was pretty brutal on the old religious leaders. And that's the same thing we got today. That Romans 13 is the most perverted chapter in the Bible that's placed in the church. And if you'll, let me read you verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Now, if you read that, put Obama's name in there, put the Bushes in there, put Trump in there. Every soul is subject to the higher powers. There is no power but of God. Powers that be are ordained of God. And even this perverted government that we've had is from God. I was reading about Saul, how Saul, God gave him an evil spirit. It came from God. He gave him an evil spirit. And the only way they could calm it was with a harp. The music would calm him down. But that evil spirit that was put in there by God. And what we have in this land today is put here by God because we have not stood on that. In old England, they had mileposts, every milepost. And if you had a crime, if you could get to the milepost, the church would come out and get you, and they would judge you. And if it was worthy of it, then they would turn you over to the civil authorities. This whole thing is backwards in this country. Just that Ephesians, we were commanded to take dominion. And we're dealing with perverted law here, wherever you go.
Yes.
At a very local level.
Yes. And it just continues everywhere. Saw a news report from ChristianNews.net, and it's the Episcopal Diocese in Washington, D.C., has now voted to avoid using, quote, gendered pronouns for God in the Book of Common Prayer. And you think that at least they're praying, right? At least they're praying to God, and God hears the prayers of His people, and they may not have all truth in this. This is just, it's not that way at all anymore. This is perversion. When you see the picture of the people, they've got a picture there of the people, and it's just, there is no humility, there is no fear of God, there is pride. You can see the pride and the smugness in the people's faces as they're raising their hand, that we'll no longer call God our Father. But, there's one quote in here. It says, they're going to call him, in one part, El Shaddai. And then this person says, if we're going to be true to what El Shaddai means, it means God with breasts. And so if that is not blasphemy, I don't know what is. But we see churches like this, so-called Christian churches. Here's a quote. It says, while other Christian denominations have embraced more comprehensive language for God, the Episcopal Church has chosen to use masculine pronouns when referring to the first and third persons of the Trinity. And you know, the thought occurs, woe to those that add to or take away from this word. It is the word that they are changing, at least in their congregations. And they are, and it's all come out because of this. They don't want to offend. See, they don't want to offend the transgenders, those that just, associate as being something different than they were born to be. And that's what it is. It ties back to this sloppy agape love that they have no idea what it means, and not wanting to offend. And that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ of the Bible, and that's not the, that's, like you said, Paul, anything that ever meant to you, you were, you know, they offended you. Well, sometimes that's, you know, when you're in sin, or you're doing something wrong, or maybe just not doing something right, you almost have to be, you know, brought to your senses, so to speak.
Right, and there's a few people that do it, and they don't take many words to do it. I mean, the ones that I know, they did it. Well, they love me, what they did. They didn't even know it, but they did it because they told me the truth.
Yep. Yeah, they're very words, you know. They don't want to offend, and they want to be all-inclusive, and it's just not... It truly is just the opposite. You know, they're damning to hell these people by using this and by changing the word of God in this way. And where's the love? Where's the love there? They call it love, but it's really hate. It's like the scripture that we read: beware the time when they come to you and cry out, "Oh, peace, peace," and it's not peace. Not at all. Well, folks, we do have the phone lines open. Go ahead, Zach.
Where does it say, I believe it's in Jeremiah, where it talks about the new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and the neighbors will teach each other.
Yes.
And, you know, you look at the speech that Stephen gave before they stoned him. And they were astonished because he was uneducated. You know, that should just tell you right then and right there. They all, these guys that are coming out with this change in the religion and stuff like that, they learned that somewhere. And, you know, God's the ultimate teacher. That's, for the most part, that's how most of the guys that got on this ministry, they started digging and searching and letting God teach them his ways. You know, they searched him out, and then he allowed them to find him. And, you know, we need to be offensive. And I know we can make a big difference in this country, in our communities, in our families, in our neighborhoods. And, you know, these snake preachers are killing all these people. In the end, spiritually, they're killing them. And it's just not right. And I cannot accept that all these people are getting whacked and this country going down in the tube. And it's hard for me to digest all that stuff and not be able to do anything.
Amen. Amen. I think it's Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah 31 and 31:31. And we'll just read it. It says, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day which I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord." In verse 33, "But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and on their heart, and I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." And when I read that, especially how he says it, not like the old covenant, not like the old covenant where they had to make the animal sacrifices, where they had to go to the priest and the leaders to be able to know what to do. They didn't have that understanding then. But this new covenant, when his law is written on our heart, well, that's a different story now. It is. It is within his people to know. Now, it might be buried deep. It might be crusted over with a hard, crusty heart. But his laws, his statutes, his judgments, his, and it is his love, are on his people's hearts. But it's up to us to do with that what we should do. Well, folks, we do have the phone lines open. Jack, let me give the phone number out, and I'll turn it back over to you. 307-745-5913 if you want to give a call this morning. And, Zach, back to you.
You think about the new covenant. What a wonderful covenant we have. And this country that God gave us and gave his people. You know, it's the new Jerusalem. And, you know, as I'm not saying this ministry, but as a people as a whole, we've done exactly what Israel of old did before and got him booted out. We've rejected him. We haven't loved him as a country as a whole the way we used to, just by our conduct, and we got to get that back. And how are they going to know if there's not going to be anybody to teach them? And you know, that's just something that's on my heart, like, to get aggressive. My dad, he was, you know, he taught us how to hunt, and he taught us how to read sign. And
yes,
in order to get what your target, you know, you had to be always paying attention to what's going on around you in order to be successful to bring that deer home. And, you know, that deer didn't want to meet me, didn't want to meet my dad, didn't want to meet, you know. So that's just the mentality that I have and that I believe we should have. That's the mentality that Pastor Peters had, Jack Moore and all those guys. They were bringing the fight to them. And, you know, look at all the stiff resistance they got. But I don't think they didn't have the opportunity that we have because of the doors that are being opened and what's happened politically.
Yes.
And, you know, I would really hate to see this opportunity get thrown out the window. And I believe it's an opportunity. I really do.
I agree. I do. You know, Romans 11:27 is another reminder that Christ is that new covenant. He says, this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. And that is the new covenant. And so you can't have that without Christ. And you certainly can't have the sins taken away without Jesus Christ.
One thing that you have to have is a love for the truth, and I don't see a lot of love for the truth because, you know, we've gone through this era, you know, where people wanted to preserve Babylon, you know, this sucker's falling before our very eyes, but most people just wanted to preserve it and have it as it was. But, you talk about the churches saying that, if you got any spine at all, it will offend you eventually. You know, I don't particularly like offending people, per se, you know, but sometimes if you got to tell the truth, it offends them. But the thing of it is, you've got to have that love for the truth, and our people need to get it.
Yes.
And I believe Babylon's fallen before their eyes, and that's when the opportunity will become. Because when they can depend on their stocks and bonds and everything and make a living without working and stuff, because the problem is white people don't work in this country. I had a guy tell me, heard on the radio the other day, he says, you want your children to amount to anything, don't send them to college. And that's true, because everybody I see with a degree that means anything are blinder than bats.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then plus if they do go to college, the amount of student loan debt they have to get out of it, they'll be 50 by the time they get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'll add just a little bit to that. I do think that, and I know these men aren't talking about not getting an education. That's not what they're saying at all, Remnant, if you're tuning in. But the even here in Laramie, the way out here, way out west, the colleges are left-wing, liberal. The instructors, the books. I've got a son at home. I've got four teenagers at home, and the oldest one is going to the local community college, wanting to get a degree in fire science. He's a firefighter, and that's what he wants to do. And so for him to be able to move up in that, he's going to need that degree. It's just a two-year degree that he can get at the local community college. And I just use this as an example. So he's got to take a history class. And the history book that they give him has no mention of God. It's in the settling. It talks about the settling of this country, and I'm looking at it, and it talks about the starving season, the starving winter that the pilgrims had, and it says that the only way that they got through it was by strict military discipline, and I guess that was kind of an awakening to me. And my son has said that the instructor has said that that there was no contrary to popular belief, that there was no the early settlers were not Christian. They were just they were barrel makers. and you multiply that exponentially in the universities. And with the majority of the attitudes and the instructors, the professors that are there. I remember our pastor talking about how to finish up, to get his degree, that you had to put down what the teachers wanted you to put down to pass the class. I pulled a book off the shelf. It's called Original Intent by David Barton, and it uses quotes from the founding fathers, from those back that came on the Mayflower, and in between, and the founding fathers of this country, to show by their own writings, not assuming, not postulating, but using their own writings to show. And I know it's preaching to the choir here, but to show that they were Christian, that they everything they did was from a Christian faith, the way they lived their lives, the way the things that they put together to form this nation, that it all had a Christian background. Now, I doubt his instructor would look twice at that book, because it would. As you said, Paul, it would offend. It would offend their beliefs. Their beliefs are wrong, and they need to be offended. I think to change. And whether that happens or not is yet to be seen. But. I agree with you. The universities, these parents, that it is child neglect when they send their children off to these universities, and we see it here every year. There, you ought to see the cars that these kids, and they're not children, they're kids, because most of them are goats, that they drive around nicer than anything I've got, and they're here going to school. Lord knows what they're doing on the weekends, and but it is child neglect when they send these kids off to school to be indoctrinated by these left-wing, anti-Christ liberals in the universities, teaching their children to just obey the lies that they're taught. They just don't see them for what they are. For the lives that they are.
Well, my dad used to farm with horses, and what he did with a young horse, he ran it between two old horses, and they caught on pretty darn quickly. And if you put that kid in a in his house and light it on fire. I bet you become a real good firefighter real quickly.
Yes.
You know, so you run him. You know, you could do an apprenticeship. You can work beside. The
yes.
best way for me to teach people what I do is people with them. What I can teach them with is in front of my face. I mean, I told my girls, I said, now, if you want to do something, you go work for somebody for free. And I said, they'll probably pay you anyway. But you just learn it, because you learn from experience. And experienced people is who you want to be around. And most of the, you know, I had an opportunity one time. I was at this house, and these people are old, my dad's age, and I was telling them stuff about what I did. And she says, well, how come the county agent don't tell me this? And I asked her, I said, you think that man could run a farm? She says, no way. I said, why are you asking him questions?
Right.
That's the way it is. I mean, they've gotten into these high places of, you know, everybody thinks they know something, and they don't. There's nothing like experience. So and failures make you.
Yes. I spoke with a family this past week that are under an IRS audit, and the big concern that they shared with me that the IRS is auditing them, saying, well, we just can't understand. You should be making money with this cattle business. And I asked the person I was talking to, I said, do you think that IRS agent could tell the difference between a bull and a cow, or a Santa Gertrudis and a Black Angus, or a Hereford and a Brahma? And the person said no. And so I thought, man, what a land of educated idiots. That was something my dad warned me about. He said, you know, I'll work with you on going to school. He said, but you know, he said, you end up an educated idiot, you're going to pay it all back to me. and school didn't work out for me. I ended up going to work, and that was what worked out for me. But we have people that are in these positions, passing judgment, and they have no idea what they're doing. They are educated idiots. And that is what these universities turn out. They do. They're beds for fornication and for ungodly learning. They truly are.
And they're picked that way by administration, because that's what they want, so they can control the people, keep them dumb, and sell them books and charge them a big price to get stupid. So
sure. Well, that's the... Yeah, you know, you keep people in the public education system, where in Minnesota... I got this off the news this morning. Minnesota, public Minnesota kindergarten class teaches children about white privilege. The children trace their hands and color them to reflect their skin tone, and place the cutouts on a poster reading, "Stop thinking your skin color is better than everyone else. Everyone is special." And coming against, this is the training session that the bus drivers, even the bus drivers, had to go to. The school district equity and racial justice training, moving from a diversity to a social justice lens. Now you tell me what the hell that means. That don't mean nothing. Okay? That's just some gobbledygook words put together that might sound good to an educated, yes, well, we have to make sure that the social justice here, it's just crap, in my humble opinion. But that's how they're taught. Kindergartners. Guys, let's take a phone call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, good morning, Richard. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Joe.
Praise God. You were talking about education. Well, I wasted 12 years of my young life going to school. And in less than a year's time, after I graduated high school, at the age of 20 or 21, I guess, I figured out that I learned more about how to deal with people and actually how to count money. within that year's time than I did in 12 years of essentially basically children's prison. I think that education is for older people, and once they find a job that they like, and I grew up in New Jersey, you know, and there were, back in the 60s and 70s, there were a lot of entry-level jobs that a young man could get, even as a young teenager. And I never actually had to fill out any sort of work form for the state. I worked for pumping gas when I was about 14. That's when I really learned how to count money. Nobody taught me.
Sure.
You know, making change and so forth. And, yeah, I think that you ought to, children ought to be taught to work. I mean, really work first. You know, produce something of lasting value, maybe, before they go to school to higher, so-called higher education.
Right. Well, that truth, I think, would certainly work, but oh, how offensive that is to many. It is so offensive, you know, to for children to have to work, and then for people to realize that, you know, today we've just got people that want, they just want to get paid. You know, Jason's had trouble getting people to work down. He's got friends down in Colorado, and you can't get, people don't want to work. They just want to draw the paycheck. They've failed to teach, and the people have failed to learn that you don't get paid for your hours. You get paid for the value that you bring. Value that you bring. If you are worth $5 an hour, you know, we've worked our children around the ranch. And you know, when you have a 10-year-old doing something versus a 19-year-old doing something, they bring a different value to what they can do. One can drive a tractor, you know, someone that can drive a tractor and move hay bales or run a baler and do that, they bring more value. And we teach our children that's what you know, you want to make $20 or $40 or $60 an hour. Well, you have to be that valuable. You have to bring that much value.
I worked when I was 16 years old. I got a job in a restaurant, washing dishes and so forth. And I worked for $2 an hour, cash. I had the run of the restaurant. I could do anything I wanted to. I really liked that job, but I was allowed to work up to about 75 or 80 hours a week. So I really made the cash, but I didn't. But the low pay scale that I had was it may have been overlooked by my father and so forth. But he never actually went there and saw the quality of person that was hired in a restaurant that I learned. I would say to people, don't allow your children, especially when they're young, don't let them work in restaurants. It was the worst thing that my father ever did to me.
Yeah, especially anymore. The restaurant worker culture is dregs. It's bottom of the barrel. It really is. You know, not just in the, but especially in the back. Unfortunately, it is that way. We've had multiple restaurants close down here in Laramie because the wait staff and the staff in the back were, you know, they'd be washing dishes for a little bit and then selling drugs out the back door. Time after time after time, it is that way. It is.
Yep.
Well, Joe.
All right.
Appreciate
the
call.
I'll let you guys get back to it.
Thanks for
appreciate
the comments.
Your efforts and everything. And God bless you all.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Bye
God
now.
Bless. Zach, do you see that same issue out there with work? The difference in the young people that are willing to get out there and work versus those that just want to go to college or university?
Absolutely. I would say, as percentage, I don't know. We don't really have a big turnover
Maybe I lost Zach. Are you still there, Zach? Guess we lost him. How about you, Uncle Paul? Still with us?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Yeah, I think maybe we lost Zach there. That was just getting interesting.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
he's pretty interesting.
He drops off. He can. He knows the number to dial back in. And there he is.
There he is.
Hey, Zach, we got you back.
Huh. Well,
maybe that was him dropping off. Not sure. So. Well, folks, the program's Coffee with the Wranglers, and we're coming to you live this February 3rd, Saturday morning. And
I do know you got to learn to work at an early age. You get that in your blood, and you're a good worker, you know. And if you the whole labor law, they don't want them to work till they're 18. Well, you missed the best part of his training, you know. Joe there in $2 an hour in a restaurant, he learned a lot, whether he knew it or not.
Right.
You got to do some bad jobs, you know, to figure out that you want to do a better job. You know,
sure.
That's the way I see it.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Plus, I had a lot more energy at one time. I do some pretty brutal jobs, but I don't know. Sweating's good for you. It really is.
I mean,
I filled that old barn many times with them bales of hay and stuff like that. And I don't know. I kind of liked it in some way and kind of did another, but I did learn to work. And that's, you know, in obedience, too, I was thinking about that earlier, too. If you get a new child or a new puppy, the first thing you got to do is teach them to mind, because you cannot protect that child or that dog if they will not mind you. And we're the same way with God. If we will not do it His way, He will not and cannot protect us if we don't do it His way.
Right. Right. We step out. Well, Psalms 91 is, you know, he who dwells in the shelter of the Almighty. Well, you got to dwell in that shelter. You know, that's where you have to be in your life. You have
right.
to believe, not only believe and trust in, but do accordingly. We have to do that.
Back up in time, Yale, Harvard, and all those colleges were seminaries at one time. Their whole foundation was being a seminary.
Yes.
And that's where they came from. You know, the education system deteriorated because of the spiritual condition. We've just left and forgot our God, and he actually delights in destroying us if we won't obey him. You know, and that's the premise right there. There's a place for higher learning, you know what I mean? But 90% of the people in college don't need it, because I've talked to person after person that don't even do what they went to college for.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I don't know how many people here in town, because Laramie's a college town, you see them working, you know, they're registered at the gas station or something like that, or at the grocery store, and they're going to school, and then they've got graduation coming up, and they're all excited, so they graduate. And then, well, so you ask, well, what do you have a job? Where are you going? No, going to go back to school, get my master's. And it's like, so the last 4 years didn't get you a job. You think the next two are? Yeah, I hope so. So further debt, further, you know, just grind away at a low-paying job while they're going to school. And then end up in a job outside of their field. It's like a money pit. It truly is. Truly is. Zach, did we get you back?
Yeah. I was sitting there talking for a while waiting for a response, and then nobody answered.
Yeah.
I
think you just dropped off or something. So, well, we've still got a few minutes, so we'll turn it back over to you.
I was just talking about the guys that come in and the work mentality. Necessity creates motivation. And, you know, we see a lot of people, young people come in, they've never had any necessity. So, therefore, they don't even know where to begin with their motivation.
Right.
So we start them at ground zero and build them up, you know. My brother was in the Marine Corps. He said, when you go to boot camp, you get broke down and built back up. So that's kind of our mentality when we take guys on, because it's not those kids' fault. it is not those kids' fault that they have no motivation.
Right.
You know, that goes back to their parents. And so, you know, we try to help people with basic life skills and build them up and train them, and that's what we try to do, you know. I mean, and it doesn't have to be just tree work, you know, because that's what we do for a living.
Right.
I mean, it's just the basic how you perform, you know, that all translates to whatever field that they might end up in.
Sure.
You know?
Sure it does.
So it's just, yeah, so that's what we do. But, yeah, I mean, you get some real humdingers in there that don't really know anything, have never been challenged. That's the problem. The kids have never been challenged to do stuff.
Yeah, I remember Joe talking about his first job making $2 an hour. I remember started out working at a gun club, skeet and trap range, and $2 an hour, and they took taxes out of that. But it was, Paul, it reminded me of it when you said, you know, you take a young horse and put him between two old horses. I had about 12 grandfathers there is how that worked out. I worked there for about 8 years, and all older retired men. You know, looking back on it, what a learning it was, to be able to grow up and to work in that kind of environment. You know, the knowledge base that was there was just incredible. It really was. Well, guys, we are just out of time. Thanks so much. And Zach, sure appreciate you calling back in and sharing all that with us. And Paul, Uncle Paul, the same thing. Thanks for joining us. And we pray God's blessings on you guys and on all the remnant. And join us for church tomorrow. Hopefully the other guys will be a little better, and we can meet down there and get a church service out. That's our plan. And you can join us at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern at scripturesforamerica.org. Guys, have a blessed weekend, and hey, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Thanks.
All right.
Rolling, 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 shake high. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
You're listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, broadcasting a politically incorrect message you truly can't get anywhere else. SFAWBN features music shows, health shows, science programs, roundtable discussions, as well as messages by the late pastor Peter J. Peters. To see our full program schedule, visit SFAWBN's website at SFAWBN.com. That's SFAWBN.com.